Hell was not the invention of sick medieval minds. If it was, we could dismiss it. But the inescapable fact is that the clearest teaching in all of the Bible on this subject does not come from the Old Testament or from the book of Revelation. The clearest and most frequent teaching on this subject comes directly from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us. And Colin, today we begin a sobering message, a message where we're taking a look at hell itself.
I think this is the hardest subject for any pastor to ever speak on. And maybe that's one reason why some pastors don't speak on this subject. I found it incredibly difficult, just the emotional weight of the subject. And yet, if I avoid it, if we turn off the radio, if we say, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with that, then there will be no place on earth. If God's people are not listening to Jesus' teaching on this subject, there will be no place on earth where this eternal reality is known or believed or embraced. As Christian people, we have to embrace this truth and take it seriously. And if you're not a Christian today, then what we're going to hear, I think, is a great reason for you to come with urgency to faith in Jesus Christ, who endured hell so that you should never know what it's like. That's the very center of the gospel.
And Colin, as you say, for those who choose to kind of tune this out, to turn off the radio or to simply set this aside, ultimately that's a scary thing to do because then they're ignoring the words of Jesus himself.
Yeah. Well, it's not possible to call Jesus Lord and then be selective about which words of Jesus we believe.
Yeah.
If we're going to take him for truth when he speaks about heaven, we have to take him for truth when he speaks about hell. And that's part of what it means to have faith and to embrace Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but as teacher and as Master and as Lord.
Well, I hope you'll grab your Bible and join us in Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48, as we begin this message entitled Hell. Here's Pastor Colin.
Every person who has ever lived will personally experience either heaven or hell. Nobody will experience both. All will experience one or the other. You will experience heaven or you will experience hell. And that is true for every person you know and meet. All of us, therefore, need to hear about hell, either as a warning with regards to where you are heading, or else as an appreciation of what it is that you have been saved from. Now, I have set myself a discipline for today, and I have asked the Lord for his help in this regard. And that discipline is to be measured in everything that I say to you from the pulpit today. My aim is very simply to show you and to explain as best I can what our Lord Jesus says in relation to hell. I want you to see his words and to hear what your Lord says. Second, I want to attempt an answer to two of the most difficult questions that I have asked and that some of you have also asked of me at different times. One is, why is it that hell has to be forever? That's a huge question. And another is, how could a Christian possibly be happy in heaven if he or she knows that they have a loved one who is in hell? That's one of the biggest questions I think any Christian faces, and you will have asked that question as I have. And then I want to point you to Jesus Christ, as we try to do every week here, to point you to him as the one who endured hell on the cross so that you should never know from experience what it is like. Now, having said this, however careful, however measured the statement of this truth, there is no way in which we can avoid its horror. Dr. Jim Packer says, the New Testament teaching about hell is meant to appall us and to strike us dumb with horror, assuring us that as heaven will be better than anyone could dream, so hell will be worse than anyone could conceive. But we need to hear this truth. I know that some people, and this is increasingly the case in our culture, and the culture always seeps in somehow to the church, so you hear it around the church a lot as well. There are people who will say the only thing that should ever be heard or spoken of in church is love. You know, love is all we need. That was the Beatles, not the Bible, by the way. But, you know, maybe you've said that. Maybe you've thought that. Well, People who are greatly loved sometimes do terrible, terrible things. You know that. And so the Bible gives to us a broader range of what we need to hear. That's why Paul says on one occasion, knowing the fear of the Lord, we seek to persuade others. So there's a place for that in the life of a Christian believer. And I'm just going to take it as foundational and obvious that every word that my Lord Jesus spoke is a word that I need to hear. Would you agree with that? There are no redundant words of Jesus. There are no words of Jesus that are not for us. And so on this occasion, I draw your attention to these most difficult and yet most important words of Jesus. Now, there are really three strands to the teaching of Jesus in relation to hell. Let me give them to you, and then we'll look at each. Hell is a place of punishment. That's number one. Hell is a place of destruction. That's number two. And hell is a place of exclusion. That is number three. Let's begin here. Hell is a place of punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. We looked at this scripture already last week. Our Lord speaks of the day of judgment, and then he says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So I'm simply drawing your attention now to this fact that Jesus speaks about punishment. Now, there will be some people today who will say, well, I don't believe in punishment. I only believe in correction. Well, if you say that, I can only say to you that at this point, you have a disagreement with Jesus. Because Jesus speaks about punishment, and not only about punishment, he speaks about punishment that is eternal. That's what my Lord said. Now, God is just. And that means that he never punishes in an arbitrary kind of a way. And so the words of Jesus that were read to us in Mark chapter 9 are very important. Look at verse 42 there. Jesus says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. You say, why would it be better for this person who has committed this sin to have been thrown into the sea earlier with a great millstone round his neck? You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying terrible things are done in this world, and especially to children. And a large part of it is never brought to justice here. But Jesus is saying you need to know that God will bring it to justice. Nobody hurts a child and gets away with it. Now he says, understand this. It would be better for the person who sinned against a child to have died before he or she did that. You say, well, I understand it would have been better for the child if the person who had perpetrated this thing had died first, but how is it better for the person who perpetrated the act to have died first? Here's what Jesus is saying. The punishment experienced by a person in hell will be a direct reflection of the particular sins that they have committed. Nobody will be punished for sins they did not commit. And if the person Jesus is speaking about had been drowned in the sea before he or she had offended against this child, it would be better for him because that person would have one less sin to deal with in hell. And a person in hell, friends, would give anything to have one less sin to deal with. Now, you see, that makes us sit up and take notice. Jesus is talking about real punishment for real sins that are named, that are dated, and that are remembered by God. And that's why the Bible says on the last day the books are opened. And people are judged according to what they have done. So hell is a place of punishment. You have the word of Jesus for that. Now, the punishment, and we're still in Mark in chapter 9, according to Jesus, comes in two ways. First, in verse 48, Jesus says, their worm does not die. Now, notice it's not the worm, it's their worm. In other words, Jesus is talking about something that is unique and special to every individual in hell. Their worm. That's personal, you see. Now, what does a worm do? A worm eats away at the inside. And that which eats away at the inside of a person is conscience. It does not always do that in this world because so often it is suppressed. But what our Lord is teaching us here is that conscience will be fully activated in hell. That a person in hell will live with the full knowledge of what they have done. And Jesus says their worm. It's personal because it's the full knowledge of what they have done and unique to each individual. Their worm does not die. It never diminishes. And it never ends. And then Jesus says, the fire is not quenched. So while their worm is particular to each individual in hell, because it's a direct reflection of their full knowledge of all that each individual there has done, the fire is general to all and reminds us, of course, that the Bible often says our God is a consuming fire. A person in hell lives under the judgment of God, who is the consuming fire forever. In other words, just as the presence of God will be heaven to some, the presence of God will be hell to others. If you have come to love the Lord with your heart and to be a worshiper of Him, then He will be heaven to you. And if you live your life resisting and pushing away the God who made you, then for all eternity, that God will be hell to you. The fire is not quenched. So hell is a place of punishment, and that is the first strand in the teaching of Jesus.
Well, that is the first strand, and we'll take a look at the second strand in just a moment. Hope you'll stay with us. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Cullen's teaching, whether it's on the radio, the app, or online, as well as all the other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, as our way of saying thanks, we want to send you a book written by Donald MacLeod called Faith Undaunted. And Cullen, what is this book about?
Well, it's in the title, Faith Undaunted. And the word undaunted, of course, is recognizing that we live at a time when there are many people who want to dismiss Christian faith absolutely. How could you possibly believe this? It's outdated and so forth. And I think sometimes Christians feel intimidated by the dismissive way in which people speak about Christian faith as if it was absolutely impossible. Donald MacLeod, who is a professor, a very, very brilliant man, makes the point very clearly that actually everyone has some sort of faith, whether it be an atheist, whether it be someone who is looking at science and is dismissing Christian faith. Everyone is drawing conclusions from certain data, and Christians are the same. Christians are drawing conclusions from evidence that is made available to us. And he makes this point very, very compellingly. And so I find that this is a book that I think will encourage Christians, in other words, give some courage so that we are undaunted. There is reason for believing what you believe as a Christian. Don't let anybody intimidate you about your faith. Faith Undaunted will help you to have the courage of your convictions, and I think it was a really helpful and encouraging book.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Cullen.
Hell is a place of punishment, and that is the first strand in the teaching of Jesus. And just as we will see that heaven is spoken of in a number of ways in order to give us a full picture of the truth, so we find today that there is more that Jesus says about hell. And so secondly, hell is a place of destruction. It's a place of destruction. Again, I'm quoting simply the words of Jesus. Matthew 10:28. Our Lord says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him, Jesus said this, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, this leads to a very important question. What is meant by the word destroy? And you will know that some Christians have suggested that if the body and the soul are destroyed in hell, could this mean that the body and soul of a person ceases to exist in hell? That in some way, hell, as it were, burns itself out after a period of time, that the punishment will come to an end, and that it will end at the point where the body and the soul are destroyed. You will have heard that suggested. And you need to know, as someone who upholds the teaching of Jesus, how you can answer questions along these lines when they come to you. The same question is raised from the best known verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. You can say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now, what is the meaning of the word perish? Some are asking this question. Does this mean that in some way the soul or the body goes out of existence? Is that what the word perish means? So this is a very important question. Do the words destroy or perish mean that the body and soul at some point may cease to exist in hell? And the answer I'm going to give to you to that question is no, it does not mean that. Doug Moo, great theologian who for many years taught just up the road here at Trinity Seminary, Doug Moo points out that the word destruction in the Bible often refers to the situation of a person or an object that has lost the essence of its nature and function. What he means by that is simply, here's something or someone that is no longer in a position to do what it or they were made to do. And he gives a number of examples, and I think this will make his point clear to you. Do you remember when Jesus spoke about the wine and the wineskins? And he said, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. Because if you do put new wine in old wineskins, the wine will be spilled and the skins will be destroyed. Destroyed. Now think about it. What's he saying? He does not mean that the old wineskin ceases to exist. He's saying that the old wineskin, because it burst and now has holes in it, is no longer able to fulfill the function for which it was made, which is to hold wine. It's useless. It cannot fulfill the function for which it was made. It's destroyed. And that's exactly the same word that Jesus is using in Matthew's gospel when he says that they fear him who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. You say, well, that's one example. I got more coming. Okay. Do you remember the story about the woman who poured ointment over Jesus? And someone said, why was the ointment wasted? The word wasted is exactly the same word as Jesus uses here for destroyed, the destroying of the soul and the body. It means the same thing, wasted in the sense that it cannot fulfill the very function for which it was made. At least that was the opinion of the person who said that, and that's what this word means. Destroyed, no longer able to fulfill its function. Wasted, no longer able to do what it was meant to do. Do you remember the story of the lost coin? A woman, Luke 15, she loses a coin, and Jesus tells this story. She finds it, and then she says to her friends and neighbors, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. And the word that Jesus uses for lost there is exactly the same as the word that he used for destroy, the soul and the body being destroyed. You see, it's what Doug Moo is saying. The can't fulfill its function. What use is a coin that has value because you're able to buy things with it, but when it's lost, it's no use to you. You can't buy stuff in the shops with a lost coin, and so this woman rejoices when she finds it because now it can be restored to its usefulness. Before it was lost, destroyed, lost, wasted. It's the same word. When Peter speaks in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6 about the flood, and he says this, the world that then existed was deluged with water and it perished. So there's your perish word here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, it perished. And that's the same word that Jesus used for the soul and the body being destroyed in hell. Perished, should not perish. But think about it. Peter is not saying when at the time of the flood that the planet ceased to exist. What he's saying is simply that the planet couldn't fulfill its normal function of sustaining life until the waters in the grace and the mercy of God subsided. So here's the point. Wineskins with holes, ointment that's said to be wasted, a coin that was said to be lost, a world that perished in the flood. None of these things ceased to exist. What all of them have in common was that they were no longer in the position to fulfill the function for which they were made. So for a soul or for a body to be destroyed does not mean that a person will cease to exist. It means that the person cannot fulfill the function for which a human being was created. And that's the tragic loss of hell. William Still says, the awful thing about hell is the gnawing, burning, searing agony of its unfulfillment. Life in that living death will be one huge aching void, because a man who lives for himself ultimately cannot satisfy himself. Cannot.
Well, that is where we're going to have to pause our teaching today. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message simply entitled Hell. It's part of a short little mini-series called Heaven and Hell, and you can request a copy of the series on CD when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Colin, as I mentioned a moment ago, this message on hell is part of the short little mini-series, Heaven and Hell. But our message today certainly is a very sober one as we think about the topic of hell. And I think that would cause many of us to then ask the question, well, then where's the hope?
Yeah, and there is hope in the cross of Jesus Christ. And you know, this takes us to the heart of what the cross is all about. It is so much more than a good man suffering. This is the Son of God entering into all that hell is, taking our punishment. The New Testament says that he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that God laid our iniquities on him, and the punishment, that's the word Isaiah uses in the Old Testament, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And so Jesus entered into what hell is on the cross. That's why the cross was so awful. And next time, Steve, we're going to look at other dimensions of hell in the teaching of Jesus. It's destruction. It's exclusion. And Jesus entered into all of that on the cross as well. That's why he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken by the Father so that those who are in him need never know what that's like. And so I would want to say to you today, come to Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He came to save you, and he came to save you from yourself, from your sin, but he came to save you from more than that. He came to save you from the awful reality of hell, and it meant him going through it to become your savior. Now you must embrace Jesus Christ today. You cannot think that there is hope anywhere else or in anyone else. You come to the Savior who offers himself to you, and in his incredible grace, he will give to you in the place of punishment everlasting life. That is the gift of God to everyone who comes in faith and repentance to Jesus.
Well, Colin, thank you for wrapping up today's broadcast with that word of hope. And maybe as you've been listening today, you've got some questions or you'd like to talk with one of our staff members about knowing Jesus and beginning a relationship with him. I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. You can do that by calling our toll-free number. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you can visit our website, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.